All right, well, today we have Miss Grace is going to speak for us. So, Miss Grace, you want to come up here and we'll pray for you? Caleb?
Lord, I ask that you just help Grace. I believe that you anoint her to speak. I believe that the words will flow smoothly from her mouth. I believe that she'll find all the scriptures that she has and that everything will go smooth and clean. And I believe that you give her utterance to speak and do what you and get let be known the message that you've given her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to share about my great uncle Tommy. He lived in Louisville, and my grandma lives in Nashville, Tennessee. When we went to Tennessee, we always went to see my uncle Tommy in Louisville. My great uncle Tommy died last year, and before that, when we came back to the nursing, well, he had to go to a nursing home because he had some health problems, and no one took care of him because he didn't have a family. And so when we came from Tennessee, we went to Louisville and went to his nursing home. And he used to all joke around with the nurses and everything else. It was really funny. And he introduced us to them. And we had a really good time. He was happy to see us. And so I encourage all you to go to nursing homes for a couple of things. That most of them don't believe in God. Like, my Uncle Tommy was a good Christian. He got saved when he was young, and he was a good Christian, and most of them aren't. So, and some of them just don't have a family. So, I'm going to finish with the some scripture verses. It's Matthew 31 through 40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before he shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from his other, as the shepherd tendeth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the fountain of the word. For was and hungered, and ye shall give me meat. I was thirsty, and ye shall give me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye finished me. I was prison, and ye come into me. They shall the righteousness answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we three and hungered and feed three or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw they we thee a stranger and took thee in, or not and clothed thee? Or when saw we three sick or poison and came into thee? And the king shall answer and say unto thee, Verily I say unto you, Iscariot, as ye shall have done to one of the last of these presumed ye have done to unto me.
Praise God. Well, it's very interesting that, Grace, that you talk about that, because actually that's what the Lord laid on my heart to talk about, is sharing His gospel with other people. One thing I've noticed, you guys at this church have become increasingly better at, you know, talking to each other, other believers and each other, and encouraging each other. I've been speaking in front of groups of people about, you know, your faith and edifying one another and sharpening one another, which is great because the Bible says that we need to edify one another. But one thing that I notice that we lack a lot in is going outside the church and really sharing the gospel message, like it said in that verse that Grace read, with others. And he said, you know, when I was hungry, you know, you gave me bread to eat. And you can't do that if you just stay inside the church. And he's saying, when I was in prison, you visited me. And he's saying these different things that they did, but you can't do that if you stay inside the church. And so one thing that God's really been talking to me about is, he said, my people, they lack the confidence that they should have in sharing my gospel, in sharing the good news. It's supposed to be good news, but at the same time, they're like, when they have an opportunity to talk to someone one-on-one about it, they're like almost afraid. This fear comes up, and they get nervous about talking to someone about it, because they go, what will this person think of me? And, you know, as I was thinking about this, the Lord told me, he goes, Luke, I am grieved. I am grieved when my people are timid and ashamed to share about what I've done. When my people are timid and ashamed to share about my gospel, it's supposed to be good news. He goes, Luke, look at all that I have done. I sent my son. He died on a cross. He was whipped and naked, and he died for your sins. And he paid the price for you. And he bared the shame. He bared all that, despising the shame. He goes, and then, he goes, when you have the opportunity to tell someone about the good thing that I've done for you, he goes, you're afraid? You're timid? You don't want to do it because you're afraid what they might think of you? He said, Luke, what if someone gave you a car? Let's say I came out, and let's say someone came and gave you a car. Aunt Sherry, do you mind if I use you? Okay, let's say that someone gave you a brand new car, okay? Would you be excited about that? Do you think that everyone else would hear about that? Yes, yes, I think everyone, including people you don't know, would probably hear about this car that you've gotten. So everyone would know that Aunt Sherry got a new car. She'd know what these people did, that they gave her a car. Now you look at that and you go, that's just a car. What about what God's done for you? Has He paid a price? Is the price that He paid too small? Is it too small for you to talk about? Is it too small for you to share with other people? What about what He did? Was that price, was that big enough for you to be excited and want to share that with other people? Because you go, look what the Lord has done for me. Or do we cower back and we go, I wonder what this person will think about me if I share that. Is His price, did He not pay enough? Is His sacrifice too small? Do you not believe in what He did? It's a very serious, very important question that you have to ask yourself if you find yourself not sharing His gospel. It's a very serious question. It's a painful question sometimes, because you can go, Lord, I know I'm guilty of doing that from time to time. I've done that before. You know, I personally have done that before, and I go, God, forgive me. I never want to do that. Because when I stand before you and you look me in the eyes and you go, Luke, you know, let's look at the record of your life. Do I want that to come up? I was afraid. I was afraid to talk about the good things that you've done in my life. God forbid. I think too often we don't even know where to start when we go to talk to someone about what God's done for us. Pastor Mitch stated this question. I believe it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He said, if you were standing before Jesus right now, and He said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? If Jesus, you were looking, you're standing before the gates of heaven, and He looks into your eyes with His eyes of fire and His hair as white as snow, and He says, why should I let you into heaven, would you be able to give a proclamation of your faith? Would you be able to tell him? He's the one that did it. Would you be able to tell him why? Would you be able to explain to him your faith, that you believe in him, that it's not by you, it's not by anything that you did, nothing you did could ever make it, but it's by his grace. That's by his grace. Could you tell him why? Could you explain that to him? Do you, you know, is that something that you could do? And that's something that you really need to ask yourself and be honest with yourself before God and go, God, is this something that I can do? Is this something that I truly, is a heartfelt passion of mine to share the good news of what you've done, to bring glory to your name, to share the gospel with your people? It's that question. Why should I let you into heaven? Why should I let you? Why? Is it by what you did? You know, I think if you ask that question, you're staying there. Would you ramble? Would you stutter? Would you boldly proclaim what he's done? And you go, it's not by me, it's by your sacrifice that I am able. And because I believe in what you did and that you rose again. Would you be able to proclaim that? Or would you get timid and stutter and not know where to start? Would you not know what to say before your Savior? And so that's a very important question. And I think too often we grieve the Lord because he goes, I give you opportunities every day. You should be praying for opportunities. And he, if you believe and you pray for him, he will give them to you. And he goes, I give you opportunities. But do you share my gospel with people? You know, and sometimes you go, the opportunities may not be as obvious as someone coming up to you and asking you, what does it take to get saved? You know, if someone did, would you have an answer for them? If someone came up to you and asked you, what's it take to be saved, would you have an answer for them? But even still, you go, the next step, Lord, I need to be listening to your Holy Spirit to know when there's an opportunity. You know, one great example is you look at someone like Billy Graham. You know, if you want to become good at something, you look at someone that's already good at something and you go, I can do what they do, and then I can become good at that. So you look at someone like Billy Graham, and he can take a very simple message. And Pastor Mitch, I was talking to him about this, and he said, like Zacchaeus, just like God called Zacchaeus down out of that tree, he's calling you to a personal relationship with him. You take something that's it can be ordinary, but you take something and you go, that is a gospel message. You're talking to someone, a conversation, and then you turn it into a gospel message because you go, Lord, I see this as an opportunity. Everything is an opportunity because I'm so excited about what you've done in my life. It's an opportunity to tell somebody about what you've done, about the good things. It's called the gospel because it's good news. It is good news. So as far as opportunities go, when you're praying and believing for opportunities, they're there. God's placing them there, but as you practice, you become more aware of these opportunities and you see them more and more, but it only comes by practicing his word. And it's just like the people with the talents. If you don't use it, you don't get more opportunities. You don't keep getting, you know, if you go, Lord, I never get any opportunities. Well, maybe that's because the opportunities that he gives you, you don't do anything with them. If you don't do anything with those opportunities, it's not going to keep giving them to you. It's just like if you're playing basketball. Okay, we play basketball, someone throws you the basketball, and you shoot, and it's an air ball. It doesn't even come anywhere close. After a while, your teammates stop passing you the basketball real fast, you know. It starts going downhill, and the ball stops coming your direction. Now, if you ask for it, God's a gracious God, and he will give you another chance. He will throw you the ball again, but you gotta go, you know what, Lord, I'm applying my faith because this isn't basketball. This isn't in my ability. This is in your ability. So, but if you don't take the shot, you're never going to become better. If you don't take the shot and you go, you know what, this is an opportunity. The Lord's leading me to share the gospel with this person. I'm listening to his Holy Spirit. I have my ears open. If your heart and your desire is there, God's gonna talk to you. If you're listening to him, if he has to, you know, some of us are, you know, if you haven't listened before, it's sometimes a little bit harder to hear. And I've had this personally. You go, afterwards you go, oh, that was an opportunity, but God kept giving me opportunities throughout that conversation until finally it was like so obvious that it's like painfully obvious that, hey, here's an opportunity to share my gospel with this person. Come on, Luke. It's right there. It's like, oh, I got this. But as you do it, it becomes more and more obvious because you become practiced in that. But if your heart and your desire is to share that with other people, God will use you to spread his gospel. But too often, we don't. We don't let God use us just to tell people about how good he is. Just because we're afraid. You know, your coworkers, are you ashamed at work? Do you not talk to people about his gospel because you're afraid what they might think of you? Or are you ashamed at school? You know, what will other people think of me if I tell them this? You know? Or are you bold? And you go, you know what, this is like if somebody gave you a car, you wouldn't be ashamed to tell other people, hey, this was great. So-and-so bought me this car. It was amazing. I love this thing and this and that about it. And it has all these features and this and that. But yet God saved you from so much and he has so many promises for you. And you go, my God, when I wake up in the morning, he provides everything for me. I wake up and I have a joy inside of me. I have a passion. I have a purpose for my life when I wake up in the morning. The sun shines from within me when I wake up. You know, it can be a miserably dark day and there could be all kinds of stuff coming that you go, today I've got to do these things and that's not fun. I don't like any of them. But you know what? You go, today is a blessed day because it's the day God's made. And it comes from the inside. Does that come from you? And do you share that with other people? Do you share that with other people or do you shy away? And that's something you have to be honest with yourself before God about. And if you do, you need to change that before God. Because God is very, very direct about this in his word. In fact, he deals with this sort of thing very seriously. God takes it very seriously because he says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. And you think about that. Now, I don't know about you. But when I stand before God, I would hate to have Jesus deny me. That would be a very, very bad, bad situation to be in. To stand in heaven and God denies you because you have denied him before men. Because you refuse to tell people about what he's done for you. Because you go, you know what? I'm not going to pray over my food. I'm not going to talk to these people about Jesus. I'm going to deny God. And I'm going to go with the ways of the world when I'm around my worldly friends or around my coworkers. I'm going to deny God. He says, I can't accept that. If you do that, I'm going to deny you. Now, that's a pretty hard message, but that's not my message. That's God's message. He said that. He said that if you deny me, I will deny you. And he talks about this. And he talks about it in terms of they have lost their first love. When you first get saved, you see all this sin and shame, and you see it all fall away, and you go, Lord, look at all you've forgiven me from, and you want to tell everyone about it. You're so excited. I know Pastor Mitch has talked about that, telling his parents about it when he first got saved, about the gospel of Jesus. And you think about that, and you go, that's your first love, that's the passion, you just want to tell everyone. But he says, you've lost your first love, and you've become lukewarm. And he says, I hate lukewarm. God hates lukewarm. He says, and I will spit you out. I will spit you out into the lake of fire. That's what he said. It leaves a horrible taste in God's mouth when people proclaim to be Christians on one side and then deny him on the other side. When you live a double life, he hates that. He hates that. Do not grieve God. Do not do that. If you're going to proclaim his name, then proclaim it on the mountaintops. He said, what's a light to hide it under a bushel? No one does that. No one takes a light and hides it because it doesn't do any purpose. It's no good to anyone. It's a waste. It's a waste and it's a shame. He says, no, let your light shine. Let it shine before men. Let your light be a light to other people. Share the gospel with other people. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Don't let fear, don't let what other people think, pride of life, don't let those things get in your way of sharing the gospel with other people. You look at what you are considering, the weight of what you're considering. What someone thinks about you, you go, if I share the gospel with my boss, they may not give me a raise. You look at what's a raise compared to eternity, compared to the price that God has paid for you. Don't you believe that God's favor is upon you to bless you and prosper you if you're seeking His kingdom first, despite what other people think of you? It's His kingdom. If you seek His kingdom first, He says, I will bless you. It's not your boss that you have to worry about. It's God that you seek His approval first and no one else's. No one else's. Him above all else. So I encourage you this week and always, at all times, to continually praise the Lord and be open about your faith and about the good news of what God has done for you. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today, and I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. I thank you, Father God, for your promises. I thank you, Lord, for this day that is a blessed day in you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.